Now, the Federal Communications Commission announced today a plan that would effectively end net neutrality regulations that would give internet providers the ability to control what websites and services its customers could access and how fast they could do it, and it could set costs with less federal oversight. The move rolls back Obama-era protections aimed at providing a neutral space for internet users. It could change the internet as we know it today. The FCC is scheduled to vote on this plan in mid-December. Aram Sinrich joins us now. He's an associate professor in the School of Communication at American University. Aram, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, give us a reminder. What do we mean when we say a phrase like net neutrality?
Sure. It's a very geeky term that basically means, are we going to allow the major broadband internet providers, AT&T, Verizon, Comcast, to pick and choose which pieces of the internet they allow to stream to your laptop or your home computer or your phone or your tablet, or do they have to treat all of the internet equally and kind of close their eyes as to who's sending and receiving the bits of the internet that passes along their pipes?
And what do these guideline rollbacks announced today, still pending a vote that's expected to pass, what would change under these guidelines?
So basically, the rule that they set up under Obama was that the FCC, which regulates the media in this country and communications networks, has the power to tell the AT&Ts and Verizons of the world, you guys have to, you know, play fair. You have to let everybody get equal access to your networks. You have to make sure that consumers get equal access to every content and service provider. Basically, what the FCC is doing now is they're stepping back and saying, you know what, we're actually not going to regulate this anymore, and we're just going to assume that the corporations who own the broadband pipes are going to do the right thing, and everything will work out well for consumers.
If I'm that provider, the AT&T or the Verizon, what's in it for me in this change? How can I guess, make more money in this new system?
So you are rubbing your hands together and cackling right now, because basically what it means is that in addition to already, already charging internet access to the companies that want to send you content and to you, the consumer, who wants to get the content, they also get to charge an extra fee to any companies that want to reach you, the consumer. So basically, you can think of it like the metaphor that's often used is like a fast lane on the highway. So the internet service providers can designate a special fast lane that only high-paying customers on the business side can access to get their stuff to the consumers. And anybody who doesn't pay up is consigned to the slow lane, which means that when the consumer tries to reach their website or app, they're just going to see a pinwheel turning around and around and around. Now, it gets even worse because, of course, these days, the major broadband service providers are also content owners, right? So Verizon owns AOL and Yahoo, which means they own the Huffington Post and dozens of other well-known web properties. Comcast owns NBC and Universal. So basically, they can put their own content in the fast lane so consumers can get it at the snap of a finger, but consign all of their competitors to the slow lane so consumers won't be able to access that content as quickly or as easily.
And I suppose if in the holiday season, a big retail chain were to pay AT&T or whoever, their website could load faster than the small local business.
That would be one of many examples of how this would introduce unfair competitive, anti-competitive practices into the marketplace, yeah. And of course, you know, as everybody who's ever seen a pinwheel on their screen knows, consumers wait about half a second before moving on to the next site or app.
Now, in doing this, FCC Chairman Ajit Pai says, hey, we've got these heavy-handed regulations from the Obama era. It's stifling innovation by these companies. It's giving them less incentive to up their game when it comes to providing high-speed internet. Is there anything to that?
Well, you know, all you have to do is look at these companies' financials. You know, we're talking about companies that make tens of billions of dollars in profit per year, despite the fact that they have to adhere to net neutrality rules. These are companies that have rolled out 3G wireless, 4G wireless, are in process of rolling out 5G wireless, gigabit internet. I don't see the net neutrality rules having slowed down these companies at all or diminished their profit margins. So I think it's a load of bunk.
We're talking to Aram Sinreich right now. He's an associate professor in the School of Communication at American University. He's with us to talk about the decision from the FCC to roll back net neutrality guidelines. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this announcement from the FCC? Are you worried about how your internet access and usage could change? Do you want to see these changes come to internet providers? Is net neutrality an issue you've been following? Maybe calling members of Congress or the FCC or emailing them. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can send your comments also to ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about the future of net neutrality after the FCC released a plan that would roll back some Obama-era protections. Aram Sinreich is with us. He's an associate professor in the School of Communication at American University. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think things need to change? Do you think they should stay the same when it comes to net neutrality and internet providers' ability to channel the flow of content for money? Do you think the FCC is on the right track or the wrong track? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go right to your calls now. Alice is with us in New London. Alice, hi.
Hi. I'm very much against any changes to the net neutrality legislation because I think if this happens, what's going to turn out to be is that internet providers are going to do the same thing as cable companies. They're going to sell packages of domains. For instance, if you want to get all the .govs, you have to pay extra. If you want .edus, you have to pay extra. And I think they're going to select which sites they're actually going to give you access to, because unfortunately in this country, telecommunication companies are so greedy, they'll do whatever they can to maximize their profits.
Alice, thanks for the call. Aram, is that something that a company could do?
Yeah, it's certainly feasible. The thought of grouping together top-level domains as packages, the way that cable companies do with television, had not occurred to me. I think you've got a role doing strategy for a major telecommunications company, Alice. If you want to sell your soul and make a couple bucks.
Thanks for the call, Alice. We'll go next to Val on the line in Waukesha. Val, hi.
Hi. My comment is that, first of all, we have a working model of how this is going to work already with Comcast throttling Netflix until they agree to pay their higher access rates on the East Coast. The second thing is that most broadband providers have been eyeing up a tiered data system and getting rid of unlimited for years. So they already have enough reason to up their bandwidth and potentially charge people more. They have no reason to need to go to an unregulated state again.
Val, thanks for the call. Aram, any thoughts on either of those points?
Yeah, sure. So it's important to point out that the net neutrality rules under the Obama administration only applied to wired broadband internet and do not apply to wireless. So that's part of the reason why we see the major wireless companies in the U.S. picking and choosing and saying, oh, you know, we won't charge you for Netflix, but we will charge you for Amazon Video. Or we won't charge you for Spotify, but we will charge you for Deezer or RDO or any of its competitors. So, you know, we've already seen what happens when wireless companies pick and choose, and that means consumers get less choice, and ultimately it means there are less competitive companies in the marketplace. So we're facing exactly the same thing when it comes to broadband if the FCC does change the rule.
Val, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Laura with us in Milwaukee. Laura, hi.
Hi. So I'm wondering, I think this is a bad thing in general for consumers and small business owners, but I'm wondering if there's any upside if these ISP providers are going to be taking an editorial stance. Is there any opportunity then to hold them accountable for not letting people access things like child pornography or other things that would never be allowed in other mainstream media channels?
That is a really interesting question, and there are a couple of ways to answer it. So first of all, one of the clever, sneaky things that the companies lobbying to end net neutrality are doing is they're saying, well, you know, the FCC shouldn't be the one regulating us. The FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, should be the one regulating us. But at exactly the same time, AT&T, which is one of the major companies lobbying to change this rule, is also in court saying that the FTC can't regulate them either. So basically what they're trying to do is, without saying so, is to be completely unregulatable by any federal agency, which is, of course, bad news for consumers. I think we have to look at this in terms of the kind of bigger picture and what the vision for the Internet is among these companies. And without question, they basically want to turn it into a giant cable television system. Now, as to whether they'll be held accountable to prevent child pornographers and human traffickers and other wrongdoers from sharing information over the Internet, I think that's unlikely. We have a system that provides certain kinds of safe harbors to online service providers, and it's too wonky to get into the details, but basically they want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to have their safe harbors protecting them from liability, but at the same time they want to discriminate and prevent you from getting access to anybody who doesn't pay for sending information to you.
Thanks a lot for that call, Laura. We're talking to Aram Sinrich about net neutrality and an FCC proposal out today to end, in effect, net neutrality, a vote coming up in mid-December. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts. We'll go back to our callers now. Susan on the line in Mount Horeb. Susan, hi.
Hi. I love this idea. I think it's a wonderful idea. It's a blessing in disguise. Get off your phones. Get off your tablets. Talk to the people next to you. Get out in nature. Do stuff and live your life. I think it's great, and I love it.
So Susan thinks it sounds like this will hurt the Internet, and she's all for that, Aram.
Yeah. If you hate the Internet, this is good news for sure.
Thanks for the call, Susan. And let's talk a little more, Aram, about what a consumer would see if this change is implemented.
Yeah, so basically, right now when you log on to your laptop or open up your tablet or phone, you can access any website you want, and they're all going to load relatively quickly and easily and seamlessly, and you know, it happens so quickly that we don't even notice it, really. And what would change is basically, if you're on Verizon, the chances are that Huffington Post would probably come to you a lot faster than, say, the Washington Post, because Huffington Post is owned by Verizon and the Washington Post is owned by Amazon, which is, you know, one of their competitors. Unless, of course, Amazon was willing to pay a hefty fee, in which case the Washington Post would have to pass that fee on to the consumers, which would mean that you'd see more advertising, and if you wanted to subscribe, it would cost more. So ultimately, what it would mean for the consumer would be seeing more pinwheels, seeing fewer options, seeing less innovation and fewer startups, and paying more money and seeing more ads.
Susan, thanks for the call. Go next to Mike on the line in Appleton. Mike, hi.
Hi there, gentlemen. I've got a question about this. Basically goes on more to the cores of the Constitution. I mean, wouldn't this not be a violation of free speech? I mean, choking who can say, not necessarily who can say what, but having the ability to access what people have the opportunity to say?
That's a great question. The reality is that in the U.S., we decided a very, very long time ago, more than a century ago, that the federal government was not violating the First Amendment when it regulated communication networks. And there have been all kinds of very interesting examples over the years, but of course the most relevant one being the founding of the FCC during the 1930s, which basically has all kinds of rules about what broadcasters can and can't do, what the companies that own them can and can't own. And, you know, the idea has been that through intelligent regulation, we could actually increase rather than decrease free speech by creating a more level playing field where more different voices could be heard. And every economic analysis that I've seen of the impact of ending net neutrality suggests that there would be fewer voices at the table because fewer companies could afford to pay the fee to reach consumers, which is ultimately against free speech.
Mike, thanks for the call. As we wrap up briefly, Aram, is this a done deal now, this change?
Well, they haven't released the text yet. That's coming out tomorrow, but Given that we have a Republican Congress and a Republican presidency who are aggressively anti-regulation and pro-corporation, and given that Ajit Pai himself used to work for Verizon, I'd say this is pretty much a done deal.
Aram, thanks a lot for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Sure, anytime.
Aram Sinrich is an assistant associate professor in the School of Communication at American University. He joined us to talk about the proposed rollback of Obama-era guidelines by the FCC today. The change would give broad powers to internet providers. These companies would now potentially be able to determine what websites and services customers could use.